Wendy, are you ready? Okay. I'd like to begin our regular session of the City Council meeting of May 16th, 2023. We would like to welcome all those visiting. We'll begin with Council Member Baskin giving us a thought of prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just going to hold this up for a minute so everybody can see what I'm going to talk about. Okay, it's called witness trees. And witness trees are trees that have a historical basis all over the world, and they are trees that have witnessed history. And I just wanted to identify some that I think are so fascinating. There is the gallery pear tree, which is a tree that survived the collapse of the Twin Towers at the World Trade Center. There is the horse chestnut tree, which was outside the window of Anne Frank's attic hideout. There's the Hiboku Jumoku, which is in Hiroshima, Japan, known as the survivor trees. The flower of Kent apple tree is a tree that still is alive in Isaac Newton's yard. There's the Pauline sycamore, which is a tree at Valley Forge. The loblolly pine is a tree that was on the Augusta National Golf Club. It was also known as the Eisenhower tree. And what's interesting about this, it was named the Eisenhower tree because he would always hit into it and make him mad. It's about 220 yards. So he hated the tree, so they named it that. But in 2014, there was an ice storm, and the tree had to be taken down because it had been so damaged. Pando, which we all know, at Fish Lake, which is an 80,000-year-old colony of quaking aspens in Utah. The one that I wanted to share that I found pretty profound is the English oak, which is a tree in Cleveland, Ohio. And it's a tree that was provided by saplings. And here's the story. I got Allie's little girl out there so she can see the picture for a minute. Okay, it says, in 1936, Berlin Olympics, Jesse Owens, born 1913, died 1980, became the first American track and field athlete to win 4 gold medals. All winners received oak saplings, along with their medals. But German dictator Adolf Hitler refused to shake the hand of a black man. Owens planted one sapling at Rhodes High School in Cleveland, Ohio, where he trained. What happened to the other three saplings is unknown, but this sapling still survives. And I would like to think that what we do every year with Arbor Day, all those trees we plant are also witness trees. And it's this memory of our sense of community and devotion to beautifying where we live. And there's one other tree that I wanted to mention, and that is, for me, it's a tree at the Wild Rose Trail. Park, Wild Rose Park, and I call it the Alan Tidwell tree, because that year, Alan's young son helped plant the tree for his father, who was ill and dying of cancer, and there's that Alan Tidwell tree at the Wild Rose Park. So all of these are witness trees, and I'm hoping that when we observe trees, we realize that they are the living memory of our existence. I've asked Dee Lawless if he'd be willing to offer the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise and with me say the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee, and thank you, Councilmember Baskin. Okay, next item is citizen comment. If there's anyone here that would like to address the council on anything, please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
I'm back, D. Lawless. I had the opportunity last week on Thursday of going up to the new, well, it's the open house for the new remodeled clubhouse at the golf course, and I was very impressed with most of it. As I told the mayor, there's a couple of things that I wasn't impressed with, and that is I could only see two, I think, handicapped stalls that were up there. And I suggested, and he said that, I think maybe Tyler said that they're going to restripe the parking lot and add some more. But I guess if you look at it, how many people who drive handicapped cars also go golfing, but I don't know. But that was one shortage I could see, I think. And the other one is that the grill was only open from 9 to 5. And so that kind of limits the number of, when you can go up there and have a meal. And so, but they said they were going to start opening it until dusk or something like that. So, but that was one of the things. But I was very impressed with the event center itself, and how large and how open and light it was. And I think it, as I talked to the coordinator up there, I think she said that they have it scheduled for every weekend for the next 6 months or something like that, which is great. And I thought that the deck out there, other than they hadn't had all the canopies that I guess they're planning on up there, but I was very impressed with the look out across it, and I was told that they're going to redo the pond so that it looks better or something, I guess. But I was very impressed with what we have done and what Tyler has done with the managing of the golf course, and you know, just it was just really impressive to me.
Thank you, Dee. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on. Our next item is consideration of an appointment for to the Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Advisory Board, and I'll turn it over to Stan.
Yes, I have Peter Worthlin here. Peter, come on up. You might as well come up and say something, say hi. Peter is, I had several qualified candidates, but Peter kind of floated to the top on that. Peter's the coach of the Woods Cross mountain bike team.
Yeah, right? I'm the head coach. There's actually about 15 coaches, and we have 89 students ranging from 7th to 12th grade this year. I actually left practice, so this is actually very dressed up for a mountain bike practice.
Great.
So,
and works in the IT department at the Church of Jesus Christ, which D. Lawless, the one that just spoke, that's where he used to work.
Yeah.
Years ago. So that's a commonality there with our community, but he's willing to serve on our Parks, Trail, Art, or we call it PTARCS. I don't know.
We don't call it that,
but my wife kept saying, call it this, call it that. But anyway, so I'd like to recommend him on the Advisory Board of the Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Board.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks so much for you.
Thanks. Can I ask a question before
sure,
you?
Sure, please.
So do you actually compete, or is it a club, just a club thing?
So it is a club sport. In the state of Utah, we have the National Intercollegiate Cycling Association. It's a nationwide organization. In Utah, we have the biggest league in the nation. There's over 7,000 young middle school, junior high, and high school students that take part from Park City all the way up to Logan and northern areas. So there's six regions of of writers and of schools, much like what you would have see in your football or basketball regions. And so we compete. There's six races for the high schoolers, three normal races, a region, and a state championship. Where in state is where all six regions come in, and it's a two-day event. This year it's down in Cedar City at the end of October. So it's a huge organization. We use a lot of the trails. I did go to the board 2 years ago, or the advisory board, just to let them know we have 75, at that time we had 75 riders that just will use the trails, and that we can serve this community and help you maintain the trails. And so Kyle Poulter is also was involved. He's not this year, but there's quite a bit to it. Bountiful has 125. Viewmont has about 100. It might be 150, actually. They're larger, but all three of those teams, plus teams all over, they come and ride Wild Rose, Mueller Park, the new BST trail. Those trails are very used, especially in the spring, especially when we have snowpack like this. So,
awesome. I did have the misfortune once of being in Moab when there was a huge event.
Yeah, it was probably one of our races last year. Yeah. It's a party. Fun. You can come. It's fun.
If you can get into town.
You know. Yeah, that's true. It does bring traffic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Peter. I wanted to apologize, Peter, just because normally we get the word out and we have more of the members of the committee show up and stuff, but we kind of had a late getting you on the agenda, so...
It's okay. Okay. I don't like being seen. That's my IT background. Okay. Let it all work, and I don't have to be present. So.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, next item is consideration of Resolution 2023-20R, entering an interlocal cooperation agreement with Davis County. Allie?
Okay, so every 3 years... we need to enter into this agreement with Davis County. They are currently the agency that administers the Community Development Block Grant Program that comes from HUD, Housing and U.S. Housing and Urban Development. That program allows the city to make public improvements to benefit low to moderate income populations. And so this agreement is just saying that we agree to participate with Davis County in this, having Davis County administer this program. In the past, we have used CDBG funds pretty frequently. Most recently, in 2021, we were awarded funds to construct a section of sidewalk on Overland, right next to the Colonial Woods Mobile Home Park. And it was also brought to our attention recently that the newly annexed area is pre-qualified for CDBG funds, so we could potentially make some public improvements in that area as well. So city staff is just recommending approval of that resolution to enter into the interlocal cooperation agreement with Davis County for the CDBG program.
Have we identified any areas in our new area that could...
We've started talking about it as city staff of what we could do in future years.
Yeah, okay.
I have one question, Mayor, and that is, every 3 years you renew it. Did we let this expire, or are we still current?
We're still current.
Okay.
Any other questions? Lisa, I can tell you want to make a motion.
I want to make a motion. I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2023-20R, a resolution entering into an interlocal cooperation agreement relating to the conduct of Community Development Block Grant Program for federal fiscal years 2024, 2025, and 2026.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Elisa.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. That passes. Thank you, Laura. Next item is consideration of a local government understanding and agreement with Wasatch Front Regional Council.
I think that's me too.
Yep. Well, unless Ted wants to talk about it.
So just some background in the staff report. In 2022, last year, the city was awarded grant funds from WFRC for through the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program for the completion of a town center market study. The idea for this project is to allow us to make some better informed decisions about where we can allocate funding, specifically RDA funding, in addition to just understanding what types of buildings we need to construct in order to accommodate the uses that we want, and also what uses are realistically going to want to locate in our town center. We were awarded $30,100. The total budget is $40,000, so the city match was $9,900, which has already been paid to WFRC. A selection committee was formed, consisting of the city manager, community development director, and me, the long-range planner, to review the proposals for this project. We got proposals from Zions Public Finance, Leland Consulting Group, and Design Workshop. And through that selection committee, oh, and there also on the selection committee was a representative from WFRC. And so through that selection committee process, we decided that Leland Consulting Group had the best proposal and would get the city closest to its goals for the town center. And then there's just also a note that the agreement to perform the project work is between WFRC and Leland Consulting. But it does have a mayor's approval on the agreement as well, because they will be working directly for payments with WFRC, but the work that will be done directly with the city. And so the recommendation is to authorize entering into the contract with Leland Consulting and also to give the mayor authority to sign Attachment D of the contract.
Any questions?
Couple of quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's the geography that is going to be looked at? Town center meaning, or is it to be determined?
I knew we should have put a map up, Sherry. So it's just the town center boundary that we've always had, roughly up to 350 North, down to Eaglewood Village, and then from Orchard Drive to I-15. That's roughly the boundary.
Yeah, that sounds good. Fairly big then.
Yes. Kind of,
okay. And one other question. I know this is more of a technical study. What are the thoughts either way about inclusion of either landowners or businesses that represent the kind of tenants that we might be interested in?
Yeah, so we have tentatively scheduled, pending your approval, to have the consultant come out and do, they're based out of Portland, I think.
Yeah.
Or what? Denver. They're based out of Denver, but they're going to be flying out for a couple of days to do an intensive study of the area. That would include some stakeholder interviews with like developers and businesses in the area. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Okay. Thank you.
Can I just quickly add that I think this is a really great time to be doing this market study, because we've been traveling a lot lately, and we were in Denver last weekend, and the area around the baseball stadium is really vibrant, but the area even three blocks away is empty storefronts and things, you know, construction projects that look like they've been taking forever. And I feel like a lot of people are missing that the town center economy has changed since the pandemic. And so I'm really grateful that we're going to have this study post-pandemic so that we can see if what we were thinking about before is still the right choices. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we did mention that to the consultant when we were reviewing their proposals, that we were wanting something that was post-pandemic so we could get an idea of office needs and things like that.
Mayor? This is really impressive. And what I was going to say, too, is I think that the idea that we, you know, we all say we want retail, but there's going to be a retail portion of a study to this and real data, so that when constituents come to us and say, we want retail or whatever, we have the data to say it will work or it won't work and why. And that's very helpful. We're armed with information at that point. So thanks.
I want to make another motion.
Okay.
I move that the City Council approve agreement 2023-12A with Leland Consulting Group for the completion of a town center market study, including authorizing the mayor to sign attachment D of the agreement.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That passes.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of resolution 2023-21R, a resolution entering into an interlocal cooperative agreement with Woods Cross City for cost sharing for the traffic light on 1100 North.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. This item is the second half of a two items that the council needs to authorize. You might remember that the first time we saw this was when the county, Davis County, awarded us out of their third quarter cent transportation fund a grant to build the intersection lighting that is a semaphore traffic control intersection here at this location. And we accepted that grant. It's the total project cost is estimated to be $343,000. That's what Davis County has authorized in their award to us. That has a local match of $100,000, which this agreement memorializes that Woods Cross and North Salt Lake will share equally in the local match. The other thing that this agreement does, which I think is important for the council and the public to understand, is that if there are unforeseen costs, things that we didn't anticipate, like right-of-way acquisition, or perhaps when we get out and we do the construction, we find a failure below ground that we didn't anticipate, which I, until I got to North Salt Lake, I didn't think happened very often, but it happens all the time in this city. And maybe I'm just paying attention more now than I used to, but we may have some costs that we didn't anticipate. And this agreement also commits both cities to share equally in those costs. So we will be managing the construction of the project. The third quarter cent transportation fund allowed only one applicant and in its grant award, and so we made the application on behalf of both cities. So we also have jurisdictional control over the entire 1100 North roadway, which is a little bit unusual, but that's the way it is in our city. Even though Woods Cross has an equal interest, a public interest in this location, we have jurisdiction over the road. So we will be doing the construction management. We'll be selecting the contractor. Woods Cross will participate in that process, but this agreement reserves the right for North Salt Lake to choose the contractor and to manage the project. It also has one provision you might be interested in. If we have a cost that goes over the $100,000 but is less than $5,000, the city, North Salt Lake City, just has the authority to approve that and pay it, and then we'll bill Woods Cross. If it's over $5,000, we'll include the engineers of both cities to give approval for a change order like that. So I think this agreement protects us well and protects Woods Cross well. They approved the agreement at their meeting last week. And so you've probably noticed that it's already signed when you looked at it in the packet of materials. And then when we accepted the grant previously on March 7th, we did it with the condition that we approve this agreement. So we do need to do this so that we can sign the county agreement and the agreement with Woods Cross. But anyway, that's my report, Mayor, if you have any questions.
Are we collecting a CM fee at all?
The what? The
construction management fee?
We are I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, traditionally, so we're managing the project.
We are managing it, and we're not collecting an extra fee for that. So if that was your question.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're just doing that with the soft costs of our staff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, any other questions?
I'll make a motion that we pass Resolution 2023-21R, entering into an interlocal cooperation agreement 2023-07A with Woods Cross City for cost sharing and implementation of the traffic signal project at 400 West, 1100 North.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Ted.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of Resolution 2023-22R, a resolution amending the general plan to include Chapter 11 water use and preservation element. Sherry?
We've got to stop meeting this way. I feel like I was just up here. Okay, so in 2022, the Utah State Legislature amended the enabling legislation for the directions that cities are given for their general plans. In it, they required that all cities all cities of a certain size, which is us, have by December 31st of 2025 added a water use and preservation element to our general plan. Coincidentally, last year, we entered into a consulting agreement with Bowen Collins to update our water master plan, our storm drain master plan, and our water conservation plan. Those plans have now been completed, and we've gleaned a lot of information out of that, as well as a lot of recommendations that we could embody in this water use and preservation element. And so that's what we've done here. I've taken the recommendations, they mostly came from the water conservation plan, and evaluated the state code to make sure that we met all of the standards. So I won't go over these all of these little things individually. You can see them in the staff report, but essentially the state code requires that the general plan address these four things. Then subsequent to that, in another section of the general of the enabling legislation, the Planning Commission, in drafting this and making its recommendation to the City Council, are supposed to consider these nine elements. So our regional water conservation goals, our city's water conservation plan, recommendations on policies for conserving water, recommendations on landscaping, etc. And I've went through the staff report on each one of these nine things, identified what we are specifically doing in this general plan update that meets that standard. We went to the Planning Commission last week, had a public hearing on that. We received one public comment on it that was in support of the amendment to the general plan. And we're pretty excited to move forward with this. So as part of this update for the general plan, or for the water master plan, the storm drain master plan, and the water conservation plan, we are proposing this general plan amendment, and that will bring us into compliance with the state code for that general plan update, and as usual, ahead of schedule in the rest of the cities in this state, which is where we like to be in North Salt Lake, is ahead of the curve. So I'm happy to recommend this to you from the Planning Commission. It was a unanimous vote to approve.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just have a comment. This is so impressive that the work that has been done already up to this point, and that as a city we really are a model. We didn't need the state legislature in any way telling us to do these things, because we were already well in advanced in doing them. And it was very fortuitous that we did the rate study and all got educated about that and how important it is. So I congratulate staff on such good work.
Thank you. And I can't do it without the engineering department and their work with Bowen Collins, because that's really where the bulk of it is. when Ken was telling me that we needed to incorporate this into the general plan, and I got hold of the documents, and altogether they were 600 pages, and I was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to put this 600 pages in the general plan? So I was really relieved when I read the water conservation plan, which really had the meat of the recommendations and really is quality work. So it made my job a lot easier to pull it together.
Yes, thank you and staff and the Planning Commission for helping us show people how responsible we are and making us look really good. So this is very well done. I was very impressed.
I thought you were going there, Natalie. You were going to. Sure.
So I would like to get to the end of the memorandum. I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2023-22R, a resolution amending the general plan to include Chapter 11, Water Use and Preservation Element, with the following findings. One, the state legislature has determined that cities must include a water use and preservation element in the general plan prior to December 31st, 2025. And the proposed draft meets the requirements of the state code for the water use and preservation element.
Say it again.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Alisa?
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. And thank you, Sherry. Next item is consideration of resolution 2023-23R. We sure have a theme going in this meeting, don't we, of resolutions. We'll turn this over to Karen.
Thank you, Mayor. So there are two proposed sets of changes to the comprehensive fee schedule. The first one is directly associated with our street excavation permits. The permits are actually called street excavation, encroachment, and grading permits. So we'd like to correct the title so that it matches what the permit is that people fill out. And then we'd like to change some of the costs or fees that are associated with the excavation permits. This is done really to more accurately reflect the amount of time spent by city staff for reviewing, inspecting, and following up on many, many, many of these excavation permits. And also to update some of the costs that we incur directly for restoration of some of those asphalt preservation treatments, which would include slurry seals, the bonded matrix overlays, high-density mineral bonds, and chip seals. So this is just kind of a summation of the changes that are being recommended. The first one is the largest single cost change. And it's changing the application fee from $50 per application to $250. And I kind of outlined in the memo the reason that we're recommending this change. It's the minimum amount of time set by city staff on any single excavation permit is around 2 to 2.5 hours. The average time for a single permit without any problems is more in the range of 5 to 10 hours. And a range for some of the more complicated projects, I have literally spent 50 hours on a single excavation permit in the last 6 weeks. And that doesn't include what's happening at Public Works. And so we would like this, this is a very low average cost, but we think it's more representative. Additional cost changes would be updating the asphalt preservation to more accurately reflect current pricing. We have no cost for chip seals or bonded matrix overlays. In the past, they were never done in the city because they weren't very welcome in residential areas or others. With the kind of the current invention of the use of utilite chips in chip seals, we've been able to utilize this more and more. And we're doing, in fact, that's all we're doing this year for most of our asphalt preservation, our bonded matrix overlays. So we need an ability to restore those if an excavation requires them to be cut. The other ones are just variations on what was already there. So our curb and gutter remove replace was per linear foot, as was our waterway, as was our sidewalk. Well, the problem is there was no minimum. So if someone did 5 feet of sidewalk, the fee from the city was $5 for us to go out and inspect and check those. So we're recommending each of those have a $50 minimum. So if they do 75 feet, it'll be $75. But if they do 7 feet, it will be $50. There was no line item for a drive approach, remove and replace. And it didn't really fit either sidewalk, curb and gutter, or waterway. And then the final two are the curb and gutter saw cut only and the sidewalk replacement only. And both of those were primarily intended if somebody's adding a new drive approach. And they weren't doing any other work or removal. So they saw cut the curb and gutter, and then they replaced the sidewalk to meet the minimum thickness of 6 inches. So both of those, we're recommending a $50 minimum. Because saw cut is kind of irrelevant how many feet they've cut, that one will just be a flat $50 fee up to 30 feet. So if they do two or three driveway cuts, for example, in a commercial area, it might exceed that cost. But the intent is to kind of cover the amount of inspection time. Ultimately, the biggest problem we have, far greater than review or approval, many of these items we have to go out and inspect multiple times. So, for example, for concrete, we go out and make sure that the old concrete has been removed, that their saw cuts are ready, that it's prepped properly. We'll then go back and make sure that the forms are set, that the pour is done, that the concrete's correct. And then we get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, there's a problem with the sprinkler. Utility company A came through and all my sprinklers are broken. So we call the utility company. They say, we'll go out and take care of it. Resident calls us back. Hey, thanks so much for having them come, but now that I can turn my sprinklers on, the line in the next to that's broken. And we chase these around and around and around. And so what we'd like to do is try and give people a little more incentive to allow us to cover the amount of time that we're spending on these items. And we do think it's really important that all of the work done within the city right-of-way and within our public utility easements is restored at no cost and no hassle to our residents. The second change that we're recommending for the comprehensive fee schedule, in that is a stormwater service area map. This is the existing map that's currently in the adopted fee schedule. The only change we're making is to change the city boundary. So this applies only to new development. There are no changes in how this is being applied or how. This has nothing to do with a monthly service fee. This is just for new development. So this is the existing map, and then this is the new map. And all we've done is incorporate the new city boundary, which includes the annexation area. Are there any questions?
I guess I just had one question. So if somebody's sewer line gets plugged, and it's plugged in the street, is that something the resident would be paying, or is that something South Davis Sewer would be paying?
So South Davis Sewer maintains and fixes any problems with their sewer lines that happen approximately to the back of sidewalk.
Okay.
And I'll just pipe up and say they will actually, for a very reasonable fee, will repair the lateral. And much to the irritation of some of the plumbing companies in the area. But I think it's a great service they do.
Okay, thank you.
I may have read this, but the distinction between Area 1 and Area 2, can you explain what that is?
Absolutely. So Area 1 is basically every part of the city that is not Area 2. So Area 2 was defined. It was based on the drainage studies that were done. So all development or all areas of the city that were developed prior to about 2007 were the initial city area. Due to the development that's occurring in what is shown on this map as Area 2, there were new facilities and infrastructures that need to be put in place, specifically drainage that were coming off these areas. And so the intent of the impact fee in these different areas was to cover the cost of the new infrastructure while new development occurred in this area without spreading it to other established areas that wouldn't benefit from it. I believe it was the Lewis Young Birmingham something study that defined these areas, but it was around 2007.
Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution 2023-23R, resolution amending the city's comprehensive fee schedule for street excavation permits and the stormwater service areas maps.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Ted.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Yeah.
Aye.
There we go. Okay, thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of a request from Rocky Mountain Power to cut into city roads less than 5 years old on Inglewood Loop and Rockwood Drive.
Speaking of excavation permits, so this particular, and I would like to point out that our community liaison, Logan Taggart, is here with us from Rocky Mountain Power, and he's been working very hard to establish and maintain the very positive relationship we have with Rocky Mountain Power. He's a good asset to us. So this is the proposed improvements that have come in on this recent project. This will feed the new development that will be Inglewood Cove 13, 14, and 15. All of the improvements that extend beyond this map, so the bottom left-hand side and kind of the bottom-ish right-hand side, are where the improvements that will be put in by the developers are going to connect into these areas. So if you take a look at these three locations, these are crossing brand new roads. So two of them cross Inglewood Loop. Inglewood Loop was paved in 2021 on the northern half, and the southern half was paved in the spring following in 2022. Rockwood Drive, they're going to need to cross at the top of it, and that area above that section is also a brand new road. So the proposal came to come and do this, and we told them where our street moratoriums were. There's been a lot of negotiation and work. So first of all, Rocky Mountain Power came, well, let me back up. So our current ordinance, Ordinance 2022-06, that was adopted by City Council in September of 2022, says that there's only two ways you can cut a road that's newer than 5 years. One is if you have an existing approved building lot, and that was written primarily for places like the commercial districts where we may not have run a water line or a fire line, not knowing what would build there. And the second would be granted by City Council with a favorable recommendation by the city engineer. So we believe this project qualifies for recommendation or approval for an exception for the following reasons. So this power, we have to upgrade the existing power service capacity for this new residential development. The existing system just can't supply any more homes. The development will be completed and the homes are ready to build prior to these roads being 5 years old. Rocky Mountain Power has gone back and has looked to see if there were other possible routes. This is a particularly difficult location. And the reason for that is there is nothing above or to the south. And to the north is Bountiful, which is served by Bountiful Power. And so they've got to get the power to the outside of Inglewood Loop from the inside where it currently is run. So the second thing that I think ought to be noted is that Rocky Mountain Power's original plan was to come in and do open cuts the entire distance and put this power underneath the road. Based on conversations we've had, they're relocating as much of it as possible to the area outside of the road to be done by boring. They will still have to cross both locations of Inglewood Loop and Rockwood. And while it sounds like a bore is less intrusive, it isn't an old road, but in a new road, you have to cut to do potholes. And so we'll have this line of cuts across the road. So the restoration will have to be in accordance with the adopted standard. Just a refresher on what that is. The existing, whether they do an open cut, which I would approve in this situation because of the patching requirements, will be the same no matter which way they do it, just for the road crossings. You then do a T-patch, which is 2 feet wider on either side than your trench. You pave that entire section 1 inch thicker than the existing asphalt. You then come back and mill off the top of that section and the surrounding road, a minimum of 4 feet on either side, and do an overlay. So what ends up happening is we'll have a brand new section of road from lip of gutter to lip of gutter, a minimum of 15 feet wide, wherever they choose to cross. And the intent is to minimize the impact it has to these new roads as far as how how the visual and the deterioration effects of these cuts. Do you have any questions?
I appreciate this. This was kind of a pet peeve of mine a few years ago, and I remember Paul Otteson kind of addressing this, but we had just paved a road, and I think it was Questar, but just plowed right down the middle of it and then patched it, and the patch was sinking, and it was just like, this is not cool. And so I appreciate this effort, and I appreciate Rocky Mountain Power and their efforts to minimize the damage. We all appreciate electricity at some point, too. So.
I also think it's great that we planned ahead for this kind of thing, that we actually wrote into our code exceptions that are subject to the approval of the engineer, so we have good guidance in making this exception. Thank you.
Do I have a motion?
I move that the City Council approve Rocky Mountain Power to cut the following roads, which are less than 5 years old: Eaglewood Loop in two places and Rockwood Drive.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of request to partner with South Davis Water District for the reconstruction of Elm Avenue for the amount of $153,000.
All right. So as you may know, Elm Avenue, which is also called 725 West, is located in between 3800 South and Orchard Drive. This used to be a road that was about 7/8 in North Salt Lake and about an eighth or maybe slightly more in the unincorporated Davis County area. It's, of course, now all within North Salt Lake. So Elm Avenue is currently undergoing a waterline replacement project. Part of the confusion with some of the boundaries in the area led South Davis Water to be uncertain whose road this was. So they applied for permits and project notification to both Bountiful City and Davis County. About 2 days before construction began, they realized this was actually located in North Salt Lake. They reached out to me and said, so we're starting on Monday. So we very quickly reviewed their plans. South Davis has been a very good friend to us, and we wouldn't want to slow them down. So their current project involves installing a new water line that will be installed in a trench. You can see in the picture, this was taken yesterday. That new water line is being installed along the lip of the gutter or on the east side of the street. The intent is to simply patch the trench, but the existing road's in very poor condition, and it's currently scheduled on the capital facilities plan for a replacement in fiscal year 24. So when I went and looked and was doing some inspections on the project, there is a large amount of existing curb and gutter along the east-hand side of the street that is failing. So we were exploring ways in which we could potentially get some of that curb and gutter in. Now, to be clear, it is not failing due to the waterline trench or the installation of this project. A large number of the curb on the west side of the street meets or nearly meets city standards. The waterline on the east side of, or the curb and gutter on the east side of the street is only about half as thick in concrete. We have significant damage where things have buckled and bent and failed, tree root damage, age and deterioration. It looks like at some point the county or someone else either repaved or replaced that curb and gutter on the west side or was installed a couple of decades later. I'm just not sure, but they're distinctly different. So I talked to South Davis Water and their consultants about the idea of replacing some of the curb and gutter as part of this project or by others while they were there before they patched. We've also talked about redoing the street while they're there rather than they patch and we come back a year later and remove the patch and do the entire road. This particular project is funded by a CDBG grant. And because of the restrictions on the grant, it is not possible for us to go in after them and do the work, or go in the middle of them do the work, because it appears that we are trying to circumvent the restrictions on the grant, which would include certain kinds of wages and certain paperwork. And so it's really important that we not do anything that could potentially impact this grant that they received to do this waterline work. This is the condition of the road right now. And you can see again there on the left-hand side in the larger picture, the waterline trench that's being placed. So the entire road has significant damage, alligator block cracking. The patches, such as you see along the very right-hand side with the curb and gutter, the patches are about the only part of the street that's still drivable. So what we're recommending is that we do a change order. The change order is written to South Davis Water. It will be paid to the contractor under their existing contract. But instead of patching that trench, what they'll do is they will instead remove all the existing asphalt. They will remove and replace about 165 linear feet of curb and gutter on the east side. Their asphalt in this area has been found to be deeper than 4 inches thick. So they'll remove the top 3 to 4 inches by mill. They'll then pulverize the asphalt that remains. They'll grade, add additional road base, put brand new asphalt from lip to lip, end to end, just as we would in fiscal year 24. It will include manholes, et cetera. The total change order price currently is about $144,000. There is an additional cost for the engineering, the project management, all of those things. And that brings the total, the subtotal at this time to $152,583.71. Now, the deal that we've worked out with South Davis Water, we'd all like to have this be mutually beneficial. So if they would pay, and we believe it's going to be somewhere in the range of $20,000 or $25,000 for the trench patching, what they will do is they will pay 50% of that cost to the contractor, and that dollar amount will come completely off what we're paying for this work. So, for example, if it's $25,000, they'll still pay $12,500, and our grand total will be about $140,000. Because that will come off the amount. So we'll each benefit half of the cost of that asphalt for the trench. We also looked at whether or not this work would be more expensive or less expensive than doing it independently next year, possibly even letting South Davis patch their trench with maybe 2 inches of asphalt, knowing it only had to last a couple of years. And there are a number of factors in this that do benefit us. The biggest one is the contractor is already mobilized in. There are no bids. We are now doing the majority of our contracts out by third-party design engineering firms who do construction management. The total amount we'd be paying here would be significantly less than having a contract with a design firm to design, bid, manage, do the paperwork and the payments. And so I feel like this would be a really good opportunity for us to save some money, to have a better product for the residents who otherwise would live through back-to-back construction seasons. And to also, you know, it's a good partnering opportunity for us in South Davis Water. So that is the recommendation. Are there any questions?
I wasn't clear about the CDBG grant possibly being impacted if you work on both projects at the same time.
So what happens is if we go in with a different contractor, like let's say I were to hire Bill's concrete firm, and he comes in and they remove the curb and gutter and they replace it. Then when they come back and they do their audit of the project and they walk the project and they say, well, you have 150 feet of new curb and gutter. And they say, oh, we didn't do that, the city did. What happens is it can void the grant and they have to pay all the money back. And the reason for that is that all of the work and all of the workers have to account for the hours and the amount of pay that they're getting and meet certain restrictions. On a CDBG grant of this size, the restrictions are much larger than some of them that we've done. I think it's anything over $200,000. And the qualifications for the contractor and the number of hours spent by low-income employees, one of whom has to actually live in the area that the project's happening in. So it's all really fairly complicated. So I spoke with the county manager of the CDBG projects, and then met with the engineering firm who has a lot of experience, and then also followed up. And South Avis Water is like, oh, do whatever you want. And I'm like, well, let's check with, let's make sure we don't mess this up. So it's based on those restrictions. So the appearance is we're trying to circumvent those rules or restrictions by saying, oh, no, that's a totally different project happening in the same square footage at the same time. Yeah, so we're trying to make sure that there aren't any repercussions by doing it correctly.
Ken?
Mayor, I think I just wanted to clarify that Elm Avenue is programmed in fiscal year 2025, not this upcoming fiscal year. And so essentially what you'll be doing is moving Elm Avenue forward into fiscal year 2024, and I'm not sure that was clear.
I'm so sorry. Just,
that's okay.
I did put the wrong year on here. It is fiscal year 25.
We were all on the same page on when it will be happening.
Is this Ted Street?
This is where some of the finest residents in Utah live.
Mayor, in my attempt to continue to beat the same dead horse, you know what would have prevented this problem with them not knowing whose street it was until 2 days before? That would be if it had a North Salt Lake address. And what a great job you're doing, Karen.
Yeah. I get elected mayor and we redo Eaglewood Drive. And then we redid it again. So I'm hearing about now we're doing Ted Street. This is going to look bad.
Well, that's what he's talking about, the repair on Eaglewood Drive. Yeah, it was above my house, but yeah.
We did some striping by my house.
But, I mean, I love this, and I will not make the motion, but because I live on the street. But, you know, this is good government to look for ways to achieve cost savings and make residents happier. Minimize disruption, lots of combined goods. So it's kudos to you, Karen.
Yes. Sorry, and I just have one other clarification, one question for you, Karen.
Yeah.
Are we proposing to delay any fiscal year 24 projects because of this, or are we going to just use our fund balance or fund reserves to pay for it, or have you guys thought about that?
So the memo was correct. Elm was programmed for fiscal year 25. What we have proposed is the option of taking the 4000 South project, which is for fiscal year 24, which is a similar area, similar condition, also partial county, partial city road that's now all city road. And that particular one is currently programmed for fiscal year 24. So we can swap them, which was the recommendation I made to Ken to ask if he would allow me to present this idea. I then spoke with Public Works, and they're like, oh, that's a terrible idea. We got to get that one done. We've promised people. So the current plan is to look at another area. We have a package of streets going out for bid this month. And amongst those streets are a number in the Old Hill area. And sometimes it's the street's condition. And often it's because it's almost as bad as the one next to it. And so we group them to help facilitate traffic and to help facilitate my neighborhood. And expense is cheaper if it's a continuous pave. And so we are going to remove a like dollar amount from what will be built or what will be constructed this summer or in the fiscal year 24 to manage so that our cost remains the same. So we'll just move one forward and move one back, which we actually do all the time. We just usually figure it out before we bring it to budget.
Well, was it possible if the 4000 South project is delayed, that the money that Ali was able to get with this new CDBG grant, we can utilize down the road?
Yeah, so we're looking really carefully at that, and it usually has not been applied for things like asphalt replacement. It's usually for things like sidewalk.
Right.
Or other things, but we'll for sure make, that's one of the things we're already working on, are what kinds of projects and where would it be best utilized so that we can put in those applications.
We will come back with a more specific recommendation. I would not recommend that we delay 4,000 South because we did make promises to folks as we annexed that property that we would do that road in this upcoming fiscal year. So
Ken, you're saying delay other projects, but do not delay 4,000 South.
Yeah, we'll have to. I thought we had maybe an idea of that, but we don't. So.
Okay.
So understood. We'll come back with our proposal will either be to switch projects, delay something else, or we may come back and say we need to use $143,000 in cash reserves to do the project this coming year, which I think is a reasonable solution as well, since this is programmed on your capital facilities plan. It's already adopted in year 25. So I don't think using cash in this case is a bad solution.
And actually, I just want to thank everyone for being really aware of the situation, that we not delay further repairs in New North Salt Lake.
Right.
Okay. All right. Do we? I am.
I move that the City Council approve entering into an agreement with South Davis Water District to include the repaving of Elm Avenue at a cost to the City of North Salt Lake of not more than $153,000.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Next item is approval of City Council minutes for May 2nd of 2023. I don't believe I had any changes to it. Is there any? Lisa, did you have any changes to the minutes?
I don't think there's substantive. I've changed some things, but it's not critical.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve the minutes as presented. Is that enough detail?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That passes. Action items, any updates? As I read through them, it looked like we were making some progress on some of those, gotta say.
I was going to say the dog thing at the Tunnel Springs Park, it says it's been done here, but I didn't get a chance to see it because when I went up there last night, I had to park outside the park. And we used the one at the very beginning of the north part. Walked in there, but I want you to know I counted over 100 cars in the gravel parking lot and on both sides of the road. That didn't count the parking lot in the park. The paved part was totally full as well. I didn't count those.
Well, maybe we should get passports just from residents in North Salt Lake.
I don't know. It was
because we know that a lot of those people are coming from Bountiful.
It's really vogue right now to have your wedding pictures in the tall grass
and graduation pictures. Yeah, there was a lot of people, a lot of professional photographers. Maybe we just require them to be licensed in our city or something. I don't know.
You know, we've talked about that land to the west. I never considered a parking lot, but maybe I think it's only a matter of time till the residents in that area start complaining.
Yeah, there was quite a few cars, including my own. Well, actually, I was in the backyard of the one resident.
Can we? We could expand the gravel parking lot further south, couldn't we? Or do we run into wetlands there?
It'd be easier going west.
We'd have to look at that because I know the wetlands are pretty close.
It's kind of exciting to have these kind of problems where it's like. Yeah. Things we've done are really popular, you know.
But. Yeah, there is a little lake up there too. I was kind of wondering. We're both wondering between the gravel parking lot and the park. You know, it looks like just a little pond, but we all know that the water table is really high there. And I was wondering. In fact, my son asked me, he "Goes, is that part of the water table, or is that just water left over from the spring?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. It looks pretty deep." You know, so. We might want to just make sure it's going to dry up, because it might not.
Yeah, we'll have to look. That's news to me. I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, so I hadn't look noticed at that. It before, because I was up on the Opera Trail looking down, and it's, like I say, there's just a small area between the two areas, and it's filled with water.
Yeah, we'll look at that.
I manage some property that has wetlands on it, and they're actually wet this year, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I have a question about a long-range project. It's the trail at Legacy, so this is probably Karen or Ken, and at Fox Hollow. I know that you're waiting for school to get out to begin construction. Do you anticipate it would be finished before school starts next year? I think it would be really cool to do ribbon cutting, and I think it would be cool to plant a tree and do like a witness tree little ceremony and invite the elementary school and maybe do it on a food truck night for the Legacy one, where we can just kind of say, hey, there's some resources that we're opening up.
He's writing it down, so that's a good sign.
Well, yeah, we're writing it down.
I got the answer to my question with head nods while I was still talking.
All right.
Now, I'm not looking at the action items, but I don't think it's the case that when you look at them, you can tell what has been updated recently. Is that the case?
So the way this works, if you see the text in red and in italics after the description of the assignment.
Okay, there's the date, yeah.
There's the date that it was updated. So some of these were updated just within the last few days.
Okay.
Some have not been updated since March, it looks like.
Gotcha.
Any other comments on action items? Let's go to council reports. Let's start with Elisa.
All right. I have received a few comments from citizens about bike safety in the city, particularly related to the recent bike accident that happened in Woods Cross. So I'm sharing that just as a sharing interest and citizen concern that we prioritize bike safety in the city as we're starting to do that, looking at our active transportation plan. I'm getting that feedback. The golf field trip is actually tomorrow, so if anyone wants to attend, it's 11 o'clock at the golf course, and I will be there. It's the fifth graders from Foxborough Elementary. And then coming up in the next month, just as a reminder, the Juneteenth Food Trucks Night will be on June 12th, and the Pride Food Trucks Night will be on June 26th. And those are both progressing fine. They are fairly minimal as far as event planning goes, but they're progressing well. And then my most exciting thing to report is that we have received just today our wellness report from our study in collaboration with Utah State University. And I'd like to just report on a few high-level details. We have the option of having Dr. Flint come and present to us the details if we'd like. She isn't available to do that until August at the earliest. I'm also capable of reviewing them in finer detail if we would like to do that. Okay, so we ended up having 605 respondents, which is wonderful. Our threshold value was 275, so we went well past that. And it represents a similar demographic to the entire city, so we aren't really skewing to just one particular group. Some areas of interest, the highest rated areas of well-being, meaning the things that mattered the most to residents with regard to their well-being, were safety and security in the city, mental health, living standards, and education. I apologize. I said that incorrectly. What residents rated as their own highest categories of well-being, meaning they feel very safe, they feel that their mental health is doing well, they feel that their living standards are high, and they feel that education is doing well. Now, areas that they rated as the most important are also now safety and security. So it matters to them, and they think it's going well. Mental health, it matters to them and it's going well. Other areas of high importance are physical health and living standards. The thing that really came across in multiple questions is that our residents are very concerned about local environmental quality and particularly air quality in the city. 92% listed that as a moderate or major concern for them. 92%, that's almost everybody. Water supply was the next one, this coming off of a very high drought year, 83% listed that as a moderate or high level concern, and affordable housing was the next one. 75% of the 605 respondents listed that as a moderate or major concern. One of the things that came out that people really love about North Salt Lake is the location and proximity to Salt Lake and the amenities that we hear. They also value the social climate with direct reference to a diversity in the social climate. Let me scroll through. There were a couple of other things I wanted to say. With regard to comparing our city to other cities, in overall personal well-being, so how are you as an individual doing? North Salt Lake was slightly higher than average compared to the other cities that have completed this survey. And when asking overall, how well is your community well-being? North Salt Lake was slightly lower than average, meaning that individuals in the city feel like they're doing great, but with regard to how the health and wellness of the city is, slightly less than average among the other cities that have taken the survey and completed the research.
So does that, is that a perception versus reality kind of situation?
No, it's my own self versus my community. So like I'm doing fine, but I think there are a lot of people in North Salt Lake who might not be doing fine, or I'm not really loving.
Well, that's, you know, I guess I would have had, I had this sense that coming out of COVID and lockdowns and everything, a lot of people are struggling. I'm doing fine, but I think a lot of people are struggling. So maybe the fact that everyone says they're doing fine, we have this perception that really isn't reality as much.
That could definitely be part of it, although I think that you're tapping into a different concept, because what you're saying is I'm doing fine, but I think other individuals are not doing fine. And I think the question is, I'm doing fine is the first part, and is my community doing fine as a community group versus are the other individuals in my community doing okay? So they're looking at the health of an entire community, not the health of individuals per se in that community.
I'm not sure I mean,
it's definitely a perception question, because when people ask, read that question, they may not interpret it that way. They may interpret it exactly the way you described. So, three areas that kind of came out as areas of potential focus for us. Again, local environmental quality is a deep concern. And then most of the respondents rated as lower availability, cultural opportunities within the city, and connection with nature and social connections within the city, which I'll conclude with that unless there are other questions. But that is one thing that I really love with the stuff that I do with Health and Wellness Committee, and particularly with the celebration events that we're doing this year. I think that is a direct response that we did preemptively before we even had this type of feedback to say, hey, people are actually looking for social connections and cultural opportunities. And look at that. We've already created a plan to provide at least four of those this year. All right. Are there any questions, or that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Thank you. Very interesting. Natalie.
I just wanted to let you know that the Youth City Council will be joining us in our next meeting. They have a couple of things they want to tell us and a couple of changes that they want to present to the way that the Youth City Council is currently functioning. I think they're very well thought out. And again, I just have to say the best thing that's ever happened to me and to those kids is that we found Enos and Audrey Beebe. So they're fabulous. And then, so they'll be here. And then just a reminder to everyone, and I'm sure other people remember this better than I do, we are meeting on the 30th and not meeting on the 6th. So that's all I have about that.
Okay, thank you. Stanley.
Well, I don't want to steal any of Ted's thunder, but
steal away.
Well, Ted and I went down the road, the Golden Spoke, this last Saturday.
Did you get rained on?
No, actually, we didn't. You know, it was raining in the morning.
I was doing
a rain
dance.
Clouds parted. There was birds singing.
No rain. I didn't get rained on at all. There is one spot of the trail that was flooded. I took a picture of it, although it's only like 8 inches deep, so just rode through it. But I thought it was kind of interesting, a little low spot there. A lot of participants, though. There was a lot of people that rode the trail, some of them a long ways. Matt Jensen, our former council member, him and his son rode all the way from Draper. When they hit North Salt Lake, it was about 30 miles, and they were still.
Show-offs.
Yeah. Well, he kind of always was a, you know, heavy duty bike rider with the Three Kings we used to do, and they rode up to Farmington and, you know, had a nice visit, and then they rode home. So long day for them. Me, I just rode to Farmington and rode back, but it was a nice day, and it was enjoyable, and I thought it was good. And I already talked about Tunnel Springs Park, that I think it's getting well used, and it's impressive, and it's really pretty this time of year. So if you haven't been up there, maybe not on a Monday night, but run up there sometime and just enjoy it, because it is really nice. And let's see, the only other thing I had, I can't quite remember now. Oh, apologize for not being to the open house. My wife had a funeral up in Idaho, and she said that we had to leave.
You made the right choice.
And it was the time we got there up there, it was 9 or 8:30 or so at night, but just because of the time of day, the traffic would have been so much heavier, it would have added an extra couple hours to our drive. And so I was really looking forward to it, and I'm sorry I missed it.
Okay.
That's my report.
I should say I was tempted to ride in the Golden Spoke and get my bike down and dust it off, but I overcame that temptation.
I actually put my husband to task, and my bike chain was oiled, and all the tires were full, and I was ready to go, and then I took ill. Hmm. So,
Lisa. Okay.
Four things. First thing, the senior lunch bunch, they met again. It's going well. It seems like they have about 45 participants every time. 55? And the $10,000 that we budgeted last year is sufficient for what they're doing, and we'll continue that amount next year based on conversations with Ken. Secondly, I thought this packet that we had this session, this meeting, was probably one of the most substantive, well-prepared packets I've ever read in our city, and I want to compliment everybody that participated. I read it thoroughly, and it was very amazing how professional and well done everything was done. So thank you on that. There was an audit that came out that there's cybersecurity problems in Utah, costing cities quite a bit of money. I think that's something that we've got on the agenda, but it's something we really need to look at. And then finally, Arbor Day is something, of course, that we all love. And there is an Arbor Day event in Holiday where they do tree giveaways. And it's a program that they have developed. And I've just gotten informed about it and informed Ken. But just this last Arbor Day, 400 trees were given out to residents to plant on their private properties. And so this is an idea that I think maybe we should explore. And it might be different a little in our city, but it's something that's a really hopeful concept. And I'm hoping that we can maybe work with these people in Holiday, figure out how they do it, and take some recommendations from them.
Well, and on that note, we have a corporate sponsor that is excited to help with this kind of thing. And so might be a great way to...
I'm hoping that we have lots of corporate sponsors.
Yeah. There was something else that I was going to... it's escaped me. So, Ted?
Okay, thanks, Mayor. Right. I guess my parting shot on Golden Spoke is, hey, the facilities are there today and tomorrow, and it's actually a lot of fun. So you don't need no stinking event. Just get out on your bike. All right. The I-15 Environmental Impact Statement had a milestone just in the last week or two. They came out with something that sounds entirely unimportant, but actually is important. It's called the Alternatives Development and Screening Report. But basically, they took all of the ideas, concepts, and they consolidated them down into a tight little package that is a very good indication of where they will likely land with the final EIS. So it's kind of a picture of where they're headed. And I will leave it to Ken to elaborate if he wants to, other than I'll just note that on the southern end of North Salt Lake recall they had a, I don't know, like some kind of halfway minor, this is not technical terminology, interchange, and they have upgraded that to a full interchange that handles every direction of movement on the southern end of our border. That is one of the most significant changes in any area of their study area. Notably, 2600 South interchange is largely unchanged. Protected bike lane into Salt Lake City, largely unchanged. Ken and Karen and Sherry have studied this more carefully, and they can either correct or elaborate on that. But check it out if you're interested. And then the governor's office, you may recall, has been involved in a process called Guiding Our Growth. And the basic idea of this is that, you know, Utah has been growing rapidly, one of the top fastest growing states for decades. But the feeling of what that growth means for us as Utahns has changed. Housing affordability has become a much more acute issue. Water, open space. And so the idea is, let's talk about what we do to address growth and recognize that we can't turn off the spigot, or if we try to, that can lead to major unintended consequences. So what should we do? What they have done then is they've just released a new interactive survey, which I think is pretty dang cool. And I encourage you as council and staff and residents to check it out. It is called, you just go to guidingourgrowth.utah.gov. In addition, I think that we should send that survey out to our residents, and I will share that link with Linda and see if we can get that together. Last point for me, I hit this note on occasion, but I do think it makes a lot of sense for us to sit down with our friends from Bountiful, possibly Bountiful and Woods Cross, but I think we have a lot of issues. Well, we have a lot of issues with both communities, and I think a formal, or, you know, honestly, an informal meeting with them would make a lot of sense. We could either have an agenda, or we could have barbecue. Possibly we could have an agenda and barbecue. So that's my pitch, and to the mayor and Ken to nudge that along or think about it. Thanks.
So may I respond to that one, that last one? I did reach out to my counterpart in Bountiful, and it sort of got hung up on the idea that it was not as formal. Okay. And so it might be better if our mayor reached out to those two mayors in Bountiful and Woods Cross. I think you mentioned Woods Cross. Separate meetings, okay. I would guess, but, yeah, you know, maybe not. But anyway, I think if it goes mayor to mayor, it'll have a little more success than manager to manager.
Okay.
Because I really didn't have an agenda. I made some suggestions, and it kind of died among the managers, which can happen sometimes. But I think mayor to mayor, you can probably get them to commit to a meeting together. Okay. Especially if we're doing the barbecuing, which I assume we could do.
Maybe have that at Tunnel Springs Park and show off, right? Rent the pavilion up there.
Certainly could.
And make sure Bountiful's
invited. They'll have the shuttle.
We'll have to have police.
You know, Ted, we do meet, COG meets, and when COG doesn't meet, the mayors meet. And so we're trying to keep in touch and talking about things, but that's a whole county-wide thing where this, you know, we have our own things to deal with here.
I know how everybody cherishes the opportunity to have more meetings, but, you know, if let's say that we took two items to them, and they took two items to us, and we spent an hour. And we tried to identify the do-outs, and then we just got to know each other a little better.
Yeah, I think I don't know that I could name. I mean, I know a couple people in Bountiful and one in Woods Cross as far as council members, but I couldn't. Yeah, I could pass some of them on the street, wouldn't know who they are. So
we had a pretty good visit on that bike ride last year. Yeah. They were all their own council.
You're still guilting me about the bike, right? Huh?
Can I add one thing to Ted's?
Yeah.
Will you share with your committee thanks for the Kite Festival as well? That was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Todd, do you have anything for us?
I don't, Mayor.
Okay. I've got just a couple of things, and the first was wow to the Kite Festival. We gave out 400 kites, and we could have used 50 more. You put a couple of parents with those kids, and we probably had 600 to 700 people. And it's just a neat event. I mean, the little kids come and color those kites and then fly them. And that's, of all the things we do in the year, that's one of my favorites. The open house at the golf course was mentioned, and it went well. And again, wow, what an impressive facility we have there. And I told Linda we should plan another reception and rent this place and have another wedding reception. It's really nice. You probably all saw that the golf course got best in Salt Lake for the second year in a row.
Nice.
We don't want to tell them we're not in Salt Lake, I guess. And right now we're trying to also win the best in Davis County. So there's a link. And you can go vote once a day or something for that.
Yeah.
Wasatch Integrated Waste Management. Let's see if I can make this brief, but we occasionally will haul stuff away, occasionally like daily, but it gets diverted from our landfill to a facility in Box Elder County. And we've got a contract with a company to do that. And they hit some hard financial times. And so Wasatch Integrated has gone in and purchased all their equipment and hired their drivers. And we are now in the hauling garbage business, which probably will pay off big time over the next 20, 30 years as that becomes more important. But we anticipate originally about $1 million saving there a year by taking it in-house, even though it was never a desire of to get into the transportation business. It was kind of forced on us, and we're trying to make it good, and I think it will be a good thing. South Davis Fire District, you may have seen this on social media, but we're down 8 paramedics last year that have been lured away by Salt Lake County's paying more.
Called poaching.
Anyway.
Capitalism.
Capitalism at its best, yeah. So we have, in our tentative budget, we've tried to address that. And we'll have a truth in taxation hearing and probably raise taxes there. But that's, I think if I read the tea leaves in social media, that's a mandate for getting that we need this protection. And I guess just in general, I just want to say, I'm just really impressed with the turnout we're getting. And I don't know if it's a long, cold winter or what, but the next city event that we have coming up, we should buy twice as many donuts or three times as many kites or something, because people are coming out to these things. That's all I have. City manager report?
Great. So it's a great segue. Our next event is the spring cleanup. So maybe we need twice as many dumpsters. You never know. But that's this weekend, so the 19th to the 21st. And so John and David, thank you in advance for and your great staff. We get, believe it or not, we get residents. We have some complaints from residents that it's not a convenient location or they can't get their garbage there because they don't have a truck or whatever. But we get complimented a lot on when people go into the yard and there's three or four public works employees with a smile and they're helping people unload, and it's very efficient, and these guys have even started serving cookies for people. It's really terrific. So anyway.
Ken, I just had one question about that. And of course, we've got the new residents of our city that are all going to have IDs that show Bamaful on them.
I don't know that they're going to be, we'll look at the address. These guys will be ready for the annexation area.
They'll have access to the Bamaful dump, so.
Does anyone have a horse they need beaten? Because I'm here.
Well, I can tell you, Peter lives in that area, and he has a Bamaful address. And being the honest man he was, he actually drove up to the burn plant, and they wouldn't let him in there because he had a Bamaful driver's license.
So we'll be we'll be familiar with the annexation addresses.
Okay,
won't turn people away.
Okay, thank you.
We might anger one or two because that happens sometimes. We'll try not to, though. So, good point. As Councilmember Gordon mentioned, May 30th, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll have another council meeting. It will not be on June the 6th because on June the 6th, several staff members, many of whom are here in this meeting, and Mayor Horrocks will be at a Utah Growing Water Smart workshop. So building on this theme that we've talked about tonight, this is a very good workshop that's paid for by the state of Utah and sponsored by Utah State University. It's going to be in Logan. And they have hired Western Resource Advocates, which is a firm that is working diligently in the Western United States to help communities implement better and best practices when it comes to water usage and water conservation. In addition, this is really a long-range planning exercise for North Salt Lake. Several communities have gone through. There's only been one round of this previously, and that was last fall. We're in the second round, and our application was approved to be in this round. And so we're very excited. We think that we can build on the progress we've made with Bowen Collins and some of you mentioned our long-range planning and our water rates and things that we've been proactive in doing. We're just going to expand on that, build more. One of the areas of emphasis will be a long-range and short-range strategy for educating the public. And so some of these initiatives that Sherry talked about in the work session and our rates and just everything that is related to water usage, we need to put a very comprehensive plan together on organizing ourselves with public outreach, making sure our residents are on board and educated. The last thing I'll say is that even though we've been really blessed to have lots of water, the long-term outlook, 10, 20, 30 years in the Western United States, is a drier outlook and not a wetter outlook. And so all communities, not just in Utah, but in all the Western United States, all communities that are growing are dealing with this issue of how to manage the water resource in the most effective and efficient ways. And this will be a challenge for our city, but I think this will be a good opportunity for the mayor's going to join us, and then we'll take some key staff members with us, and we'll report back to you on what we learn, and it'll probably build new programs about water for North Salt Lake. And that's all I had, Mayor. Thanks.
Can I ask a quick question? Have we decided on when we're going to tour, or if we're going to tour the animal facility for the county?
No, we haven't. And if you would like to, we can set that up. But I don't think we've...
Who has not been there?
I've been there.
I've been there, but not as an official capacity.
Oh.
Very familiar. I've been there.
I have not been there.
Sam's been there.
So, yeah.
If everyone doesn't want to go, I will go with Ted, so he's not alone. And I would encourage Elisa to go with us as well, because I think that the information you get as a municipal representative is important.
I think the one thing that that I had hoped we would hear from Ashley Young when she came was a little more about the proposed facility. And we really, this council hasn't had that presentation. I've had that presentation since Ashley came. But for those of you that go, it will probably include some information about the new facility, which might be worth going to talk to her about. So... just let me know if you'd like our help in setting
something
up.
Do you want to just send around like
sure.
a doodle poll, and whoever wants to go can say when it's convenient?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take that assignment.
Thank you. I call that death by doodle poll, but yeah, that's good.
I haven't done one for about 6 weeks, so it'll feel good.
That's all we have. Anything else?
I will not be able to make that council meeting on May 30th. Just a note.
Neither will I.
I will, so we'll still have a quorum, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I should be there.
Okay, we're there.
So let's pass some important things that these guys don't want.
Yeah. All right. Motion?
To adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.